today on 6BR.
882-6BR, where you don't miss a thing.
And it's Morris Mizalowski, our business futurist, joining us. Hi, Morris.
Hey, Jason.
Now, Morris, there's a lot of iPhones out there at the moment, but with the opening of stores in China as well, I'm expecting they're going to be selling even more.
It's quite incredible. Now, Apple has just released its fiscal quarter one 2012 figures, and the numbers are astronomical. In that quarter, or in the quarter that's just passed, they've sold 37.4 million iPhones.
That's a lot of iPhones.
It comes out, somebody did this math, it comes out to about 402,000 iPhones per day being sold across the planet. And the interesting statistic they match it up with is that there are only 300,000 people born every day.
Oh, wow.
So there are more iPhones sold every day than people born.
Well, I mean, obviously that rate can't be kept up, surely.
Well, you'd think not. This has to take into account the Christmas shopping period, so there'd be a bump in there. But even if you take off some of the figures, we're still talking astronomical numbers for one little piece of technology.
And we're only talking iPhone here, we're not including
just
iPad in there?
No, just the iPhone alone.
Goodness gracious me.
It's quite incredible, and these are Apple's figures, and so we take them as pretty much gospel.
And if you think about it as well, with those sorts of numbers, I would guess that Apple doesn't make the bulk of their money out of selling the iPhone, more things like the iTunes Store.
They certainly top it up with that, absolutely. So the iTunes Store, all the other bits and pieces that go around it. So we're looking at it, and we're looking at an industry that's just not going to go away. And we still always have that battle between the iPhone and the Android, but the Android numbers, as good as they are, and they are a great phone, just aren't even touching these numbers yet.
Well, it's quite a fractured sort of market with the Android, isn't it? Because there's so many different handsets available.
Absolutely, and the average person's still not all that comfortable with Android. I think Android's about a year or two away from getting any real marketplace acceptance. I've always thought it most probably is a better second or third buy. Once you've had the iPhone, once you're comfortable with what the technology does and how to use it, you're most probably going to be a little bit more adventurous and then be able, comfortable, to look at the Android. And as you said, because there are so many different manufacturers, it's a very different choice you have to make.
Do you think that this is actually pushing more and more people towards using Mac as their desktop computer?
Yeah, I do, and the correlation's very strong as well, because the number of desktops, laptops and all the other tops that are sold through Apple have just gone up over the last 2 years. The other interesting thing is that last Friday was 2 years since the announcement of the first ever iPad was made.
Ah.
So we'd never heard about it 2 years and 3 days ago.
And they created a market for something that we didn't know we needed to have.
But now can't live without. I mean, you talked about before the news about taking it into the education sphere.
Mm.
And look how quickly that's come about in only 2 years. It's phenomenal what that little piece of tech has done.
It is quite incredible. I just wonder in what ways it's actually going to change the way that we do things going forward. To give you an example, I have an Apple TV as well hooked up to my TV at home, and it means that I can literally sit on my chair with my iPad in my lap, and if I see something on the screen that's quite interesting, I can flick it up onto the big TV so that everybody else can see it.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. For me, what it's done is it's moved us all into the mobile world. We take it for granted, kind of, we've got a mobile phone in our pocket and there's all kinds of things that we can do on it, all, you know, the connections to the world, the knowledge we have at our fingertips. But with the iPad, it's the first bit of kit, the first piece of equipment that's become truly, truly portable. I mean, it's not like the laptop or anything else. It's fundamentally shifted the way that we see and engage with technology. And again, we've talked about it in education, we've talked about it in medicine. It now plays itself into so many industries in such a short space of time.
Morris, some of the pushback that I hear from people when it comes to Apple devices is that once you start, you're kind of locked into their ecosystem.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true. Apple's very, very dogmatic. They insist that what they have is basically a locked box and nobody has entree in it to make changes. They support that by saying that if you leave the box alone, if you use it as we've given it to you, we can ensure you that you will have a great experience. There's very little that will go wrong with it. There won't be any viruses. You know, nothing untoward will happen to you, as against the competition. That's always been their mantra for making sure that we don't get into the box, and they've made it difficult for us to do that.
One of the criticisms that people do have of iPhones is that they don't take advantage of the latest communications technology. For example, they don't have the RF reader in there for the near field information, and they also don't have LTE or 4G capability.
And that's true. I mean, what we need to wait for always is for them to upgrade the physical unit for us to have those kinds of technology. So they are slow in doing that, and we are also dictated by what they want to do. The previous version, the 4S, a lot of us were gambling that the next iPhone, in other words when the 4 was out, that the next one would have NFC, near field communication. We've talked about that before. That's that thing that will allow us to interact, will allow us to pay bills through our mobile phone, do all kinds of things. Apple decided, for whatever reason, not to put it into the 4S. It's fairly likely that we'll have it in the 5, but literally the world of NFC is waiting for that to happen.
Are you hearing any stories at all about what the specifications will be like for the next iPad that's coming out?
We're hearing lots, and at this stage, believing none of them. We're about to go into a feast frenzy, I think, because within the next 3 months, 4 months definitely, we'll have a fairly good, if not the iPhone 5 or whatever it's called. I'm hearing it's going to be thinner, the screen will be larger, battery life will increase, NFC will come into it. There are all sorts of rumours around. How many of them come true, we have yet to see.
And what about the Apple TV?
Apple TV is something that I think we're going to see this year in a brand new way. We talked about that briefly late last year. We're definitely going to see a new form because it was one of the last things that Steve Jobs was working on, we're told, before his demise. It was the next big push in. So definitely somewhere, I think, around June, July, we'll
see. That's quite exciting as well. Now, just the last technology that I'm aware that Steve Jobs was hoping to actually put into the iPhone series was this technology called Lytro, which, you know, allows you to focus a photo after you've taken it.
Yes. Now, I haven't seen much done with that, and we're certainly looking forward to that. I mean, some of the camera manufacturers are also saying they've got that capability, that really the camera, because it takes a raw photo, which means it has all of the capability within it, has everything that's been shot. What we see with the eye is only about 30 or 40% normally on the finished piece. But with that, they're going to be able to do all kinds of wonderful things that would allow us after the fact to make that photo superb. So let's see if that comes about as well.
Morris, you know, we've talked a lot about how Apple devices are pretty cool and the Android devices are probably still a little bit raw for your average individual. Are there any really compelling sales points for the Android that would put it ahead for some people?
I'm not sure if they are. I mean, price would be one of them. The Android phones can be gotten for much cheaper prices. There are some entry units around the $200 mark. I think for some people, they're loving that Samsung, and certainly that's the one that's got most people talking if they're moving across to Android. There doesn't seem to be yet a great compelling reason for it. Certainly more apps and more things are being built for the iPhone still. That'll change over the next year or two, and that'll even itself out. So at this stage, I think it's a matter of people just liking a different flavour rather than having a compelling choice.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've played with both, and I sort of lean towards the Apple side of things, which is kind of odd because the company I run outside of radio broadcasting is a PC support business.
Yeah. And I'm a PC person all the way through. I've always used Macs and had one in, but I'm basically a PC. But I'm exactly the same. I'm finding that when people are asking me what I recommend, for most people, I'm still pushing them on to the Apple device simply because of its ease of use.
Exactly.
And because the conversations are much easier to have if something's gone wrong or you need some support or something. There's just more conversation around it, more support online and offline with it at this stage.
Look, I'm completely on the same page as you. Morris, we're out of time. I'm going to have to let you go, but if anybody would like to get hold of you, I guess specifically if they would like you to come and speak at a conference or something, how would they do so?
We'd love to do that. They can always do it through the website, which is businessfuturist.com.
Businessfuturist.com. We've got it, Morris. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure. Have a great week.
Cheers, mate.